Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. Scare Track is a podcast featuring three scare enthusiasts who discuss the crazy world of scare entertainment. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
You're listening to Scare Track, the UK's first scare attraction podcast. Now, welcome your hosts, Mikey, Sean, and Hannah.
Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Scare Track Podcast, a podcast supported by the Haunted Attractions Network. On today's show, we have our news and rumours section. Our feature section is an interview with Toby Brandon, the mind behind Twins of Evil Attractions, and we finish off with our listener feedback. My name's Mikey, and I'm in the studio with Hannah. Hannah, how's it going?
It's going really well, thank you.
Good stuff, good stuff. You're on the John Smith's tonight?
Yeah, I've opted to not have my usual wine, but for something a little bit more refreshing. Oh. Smith's is all I had.
Yeah, okay. Other bitters are available. Sean, how's it going, pal?
I'm very well, thank you. It's strange not seeing Hannah with a wine in her hand.
I'm on a diet.
Oh, okay.
John Smith's isn't good for you. That's not the best diet food.
I've got to think of some excuse. And that's all you keep saying, so.
It's a liquid diet.
Nice. So, like we said earlier, this is episode 37. It's February 2017, and it's time for our news and rumours.
The UK Scare Attraction News and Rumours.
The London Dungeons have closed Newgate prison scene to make way for the Great Escape Experience. Guests will come face-to-face with Jack Shepherd, who managed to escape four prisons.
Apocalypse Events have released details on a brand new 5K mud race. Over the course, you will encounter both zombies and life or death experiences.
Immersive Events have announced their yearly event lineup. It's great to see the return of Lockdown Zombie Experience and their Twisted Fairy Tales Christmas attraction. If you want to hear how Mikey got on at last year's events, head back and listen to episode 32 and 34.
Wallaby Theme Park in Holland are popular for their Horror Night events. This year, they have announced a brand new VR experience. So, guys, what do you think about this?
VR. I thought we'd put a point on this, but have you done any VR recently, Sean?
Not recently, no.
You just done Darren Brown's Ghost Trains the most.
Yeah, I want to say... Yeah, I never got to do Virtually Dead.
No, nor us, no. We opted not to do the VR experience at Halloween Horror Nights purely because it was $50 and it took too much time out of your evening, and I've heard some bad feedback anyway. However, we did do the VR experience at Europa Park.
Yeah, but for me that was just sort of like a ride with VR.
It was just a bit of fun.
Ride, you know, it was Orton Towers Duel, but with VR.
Yeah.
Is how I'd explain it. I wouldn't really... say that was a scare event or an attraction worth... I don't know.
No, I just don't... I think they can be scary. Like, I've seen some scary videos and people get terrified of VR. They can be scary, providing it looks real and not cartoony. I think that's the difference. It has to be, like... The first half of Darren Brown's Ghost Train is quite fun because it's realistic. However, the second half just looks like you're on an old computer game.
Yeah.
It's not good. And do we know if this is like an uplift charge or...
That's all I know so far, but it probably will be. I mean, I know Halloween Horror Nights, it was extra $50. The one in Europa Park was free, I suppose, which is surprising because you actually have to pay an upcharge for their VR rides during the daytime event. So...
Okay.
We have a few listeners I know from Holland. So let us know, guys. If you go on the VR experience at Wallaby Theme Park, just let us know. Moving on with the news, Extreme Scream Park have announced a new attraction. Hoodoo Voodoo will be debuting at this year's Halloween event.
That's such a cool attraction name.
Yeah, Hoodoo Voodoo. Can I just... You do Hoodoo. Voodoo Voodoo.
That is... Yeah, that's so funny. It's good.
Yeah.
Love it.
I can't wait to go back again as well. I missed it last year, and Extreme Scream Park the year before were absolutely incredible. So, can't wait to get back.
Resident Evil, the final chapter, the live-action theatre and zombie scare event will be back at the venue in Selby on 26th of March 2017.
Are you guys going to that, or...?
It's quite north for us.
Yeah, where is Selby?
It's near where Mackenzie V. Crompton lives. Yorkshire way.
Up to north.
We'll try, but it's only on one day, so it will struggle to both get on the same day, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know Michael Bolton, he headed over to Resident Evil and he said it was fantastic.
Oh yeah, that was the different Resident Evil down in London, wasn't it?
Oh right.
That was one created by Capcom and another company, I can't remember their name now, promoting the last installment of the game. So they're slightly different, but they both sound cool. Resident Evil's cool anyway.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah, I was going to say, I'm not like a video game player, but that video game trailer made me kind of weak at the knees. It's okay, I'm not going to say it's realistic, but it's very well done.
Yeah, it does look pretty awesome.
Anyway, moving on. Now, theme park news. Derren Brown's Ghost Train will be returning with a new subheading this year. Derren Brown's Ghost Train, Rise of the Demon, will be opening in March. What do you guys think about this?
I just think, wow, it's only been 1 year and already you've got to change your 20-plus million-pound ride.
I like that they're keeping it fresh, but...
I mean, it was only open for half a year last year because it was so late. I know they're trying to listen to what we say to try and make it better. I understand that. I don't know. I was quite disappointed with the ride overall. It was fun. It was fun for like a 15-20 minute queue. Would I queue more for it? No. But
yeah,
like I said earlier, the second part of the VR was just garbage. Mm. You know, and the train, although it does move, it obviously doesn't move that much. I could tell how it works with the whole special effects with the mirrors, and you're not strapped in at any point, so you know you're not going to move far. It just all seemed a little bit, wow, it took you this long to build this. And
it'll be interesting to see how long the actual ride, as we know it, lasts.
Yeah, especially with VR. I mean, there's already broken VR headsets on there.
Exactly,
I think they tried to bite off too much they could. They bit off more than they could chew.
It looks pretty, though.
It looks pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still enjoyable. I just don't think it was worth the wait and the money. No. You could have got a proper good coaster for the same price.
You don't know that the Rise of the Demon might actually be a really big improvement.
I may go on it and think it's absolutely amazing. But I've also heard they're making an extension to the building, which they're making out to be a bit of a scare maze at the end.
Ooh.
Does anyone else just think of Subterra?
We broke it. Let's put a maze on the end of it.
I mean, I don't know how that's going to work, whether they're going to have actual scare actors in there, but we all know how Saw turned out.
Yeah,
exactly.
And obviously Subterra.
This is what I don't quite understand with Thorpe. With Merlin overall, actually, the fact that Saw was there a few seasons all the time, then they made it only open for like 3 hours of the day, which you can understand, and now it's closed until Fright Nights. Why then, 3 years later, do you build I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which needs to rely on actors, and again, it's just going to dwindle in popularity. Now they're supposedly, not, I don't know if it's confirmed, adding a horror maze at the end of Derren Brown's Ghost Train. We all know that Subterra ended up having a maze on with like three actors and then two actors and now one actor sometimes none, and you just walked through it with no one in there. The same thing's going to happen, and I think anyway, and it's just disappointing.
It is. And I mean, let's just quickly talk about the subtitle, Rise of the Demon. Now, what was the creature? I'm guessing our listeners have now been on Derren Brown's Ghost Train.
Well,
if you haven't,
too late now, because they've changed it.
Yeah. Well, exactly. So in the second part of the Derren Brown's Ghost Train, there was that kind of monster, wasn't there? Is that a demon?
I would say so. I would say it is.
I think it would be silly not to use that.
I think that needed to be more prominent in the actual...
Yeah, I just didn't get the whole... Because obviously in the first part it was a ghost or this kind of... It was a real-life person.
I had a little girl.
I had an old man. And, yeah. So it's different, isn't it?
And that's what I loved. I loved people going, oh, who did you have? Oh, next time I want to get this guy. Next time I want to get the girl. Like, that's what I loved. And I think that worked brilliantly. And for me, when I first sat down, I was like, oh, my God, like, this is intense. But the whole second part was very kind of clunky. It just didn't fit with this... kind of CGI dragon demon.
I agree. And the middle bit, like from when you get off one train into that big room where a train and does a scare, which will only scare the first five people in the front row, and then the actor shouts behind you, it all just seemed, this is a huge space that's wasted.
Yeah.
Just to get on another train to go back. It just was a bit meh.
Yeah, what I don't want to, like... See, I've had this discussion with a couple of people that are real hardcore theme park fans, and they've told me, they're like, Sean, look, you don't get it because you don't know the backstory, you don't know this, you don't know that. And let's face it, I'm going in as a general...
General Joe Public.
Yeah, exactly. Which I want to say 90% of thought parks... visitors are.
Well, 20% you know, just... are chavs, so...
Well, yeah, exactly. How dare you? And anyway, and so I'm just going in as a Joe Public, and the fact that I didn't get it, what are the public going to get, you know? It's not a well-written storyline.
No, I think it was a bit lacklustre. Especially, and I think it's a shame that Darren Brown has his name on it, to be honest, because... Everything I've seen of Darren Brown is amazing. Like, I'm a huge fan. And I think this ride just couldn't live up to the hype.
But,
no. Like we say, Rise of the Demon, opening in March 2017. Fingers crossed, it could be quite good.
Who knows? Give it a go. I'm sure we'll... Yeah, we'll give it a go.
Our last few pieces of news now then, guys. We have some news from Secrets Beneath. A scare company based in Jersey have announced that they'll be bringing their scare attraction Torment over to mainland England this year.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I've heard some great stuff about Torment. Michael's gone over to Jersey a couple of times. So
they've won a couple of awards as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, they've won some Scar Awards, Secrets Beneath, guys. So it'd be great to see them in mainland England.
Speaking of awards, some more award winners. The team behind Hide and Shriek will be debuting their new event, Delectably Dead Dining Experience, later this year.
I say it's later this year. I think it's actually this month. I might be wrong.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's exciting that they're quite a new team from a few years ago now, but they're building things so, so quickly.
They've hit the scene with a bit of an impact,
haven't
they?
A bit of a buzz, absolutely. Awesome. And that does it for our news and rumours section.
You're listening to Scare Trap.
So now it's time for our feature section. Unfortunately, Hannah and Sean weren't able to join me on this one, but earlier on today, I interviewed Toby Brandon from Twins of Evil Scare Attractions. So let's head on over to our feature section. So guys, yes, it's the feature section of Scare Track episode 37, and I am here with Toby Brandon. Toby, how's it going, pal?
I'm good, Mikey. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad, thanks. Not too bad. It's just me today, unfortunately. Hannah and Sean couldn't join us, but they do send their regards.
Well, hello to Hannah and Sean.
So, you're the mastermind behind Twins of Evil. You're quite a new company. So, really, the first thing I wanted to know is why you decided to join this crazy world of the scare industry.
Well, you call it crazy, I call it love myself. Well, where did I start? Why did I want to join? I suppose I've always had a love for fear, I suppose you could call it, because I've always been quite a scaredy cat myself.
Me too.
So, yeah, well, you know what it's like. You walk through a scare attraction, you absolutely lose it, don't you? You know, and I wanted to know why it would happen, you know. What could possibly make something like that so terrifying You know, I just wanted to learn the ins and outs of different acting, I suppose. You know, when I first heard of Scare Tour, I believe, Michael gave me a lot of insights onto the whole industry, and I thought, wow, this is something I want to do.
Awesome.
So I thought, you know, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And instead of sort of joining a company or acting, you decided to create Twins of Evil.
Yes.
That's a very bold, you know, it's a bold move to go in straight away and create your own scare event. Before we get into Twins of Evil, because I've got a lot of questions to ask you about that.
Yeah, no problem.
Before sort of, you say that you were a scaredy cat. Now, I was I was scared of my own shadow till I was 21. Did you sort of go through any scare attractions or haunted houses or even like scary rides? Or did you even watch scary films before you got into this industry?
I did, obviously. You know, you grow up watching scary films. You grow up hiding behind the sofa. You know, you sneak downstairs to watch your parents watching a horror movie. You know, something like that. You know, it really triggered something inside me. But yeah, I obviously gone on rides, etc., etc. I visited Halloween Horror Nights 20, which was 20 Years of Fear in Universal Studios, and that was a real eye opener for me. You know, I think that was where my love for the scare industry started. The fact that, you know, you walk through iconic things of movies that you've hidden from, you know?
Yeah.
You know, to be stood with nothing but a cage between you and the Chucky doll was fantastic for me.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We visited, the team went over to Orlando for the first time in 2016. And it is something else to be... I mean, it's great to go through scare attractions here, there, and everywhere, but especially when there's an IP. There's pros and cons for IPs, I think we all agree. But it is pretty cool to be in the middle of, for example, say, the Hotel of American Horror Story. Or, you know, like you say, like face-to-face with the Chucky doll in a Chucky house. Yeah. That's got to be pretty impressive.
Yeah. I say, well, because it was 20 Years of Fear, and they had literally from... the first ever Halloween Horror Nights to the 19th, so every prop that they used, virtually every prop, I can't say every prop because you can imagine how big that list would be, but of course they took us through the beginning of the first scare zone, and the warehouse was just packed left, right, and centre, full of different memorabilia, different Halloween Horror Nights posters. It was wow. Such an eye opener, you know, to be. Like, I grew up, you know, I'm 31 this year, but, you know, I grew up watching these kind of films, and this is what I think triggered my love for the scare industry, you know?
Excellent, excellent. And like you say, meeting Michael at Scare Tour, and I know you've been to ScareCon as well.
Yes, that we did cross really... paths, didn't we?
Yes, we did. It's so crazy at ScareCon. Yeah. I tried to see absolutely everyone.
It's unbelievable. It's so much going on. It's such a fantastic event.
Oh, it's great. We love it. We'll be getting Michael on the show soon as well, fingers crossed. Will you be going to this year's ScareCon?
I am indeed, and I'm going as something that is unexpected.
Oh, right, guys. So any ScareTrack listeners out there going to ScareCon? I know a lot of you do. Keep an eye out for Toby.
You won't recognise me whatsoever. I can guarantee you that.
Awesome. We're looking forward to it. So back onto yourself and Twins of Evil. So like you say, going to Halloween Horror Nights was the big sort of eye opener for you, sort of scare wise, and then speaking to Michael industry wise. We didn't get a chance to visit your first event. Is it Valley Nightmares?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, awesome. So what exactly was Valley Nightmares all about? Can you give us a bit of an insight of the event? What was it themed around? Any kind of scares you had in that attraction?
Well, where do I start? We started in our mate's house, my mate's house, sorry, and with... loads of people come in, family, friends. They said, oh, you've got to take this bigger. So we thought, right, okay, we need to find somewhere. And as it so happened, my friend was friends with a friend, you know, friend of a friend who had a lease of this old chapel that lies in the centre of Tonopandy. And the first time I ever saw that chapel, I thought, wow, what a building. I would love to see the inside of that. Wow. So we had the chance then to take our event into that chapel. So I thought, right, my first time visiting the chapel, it happened January last year. And I thought, I went there with a tape measure and a drawing pad. the first thing I done was throw the tape measure and drawing pad away. I thought, no, I can't do anything with a piece of paper. You know, of course, it's all new to me, so I, you course, know, yeah. I had no idea where to start or what to do. So, of course, I'd done it all myself through, like, up until, I think it was May when I first got introduced to Michael. Hmm. So up until then, it was, you know, all do this, do that, if I can. You know, it was all self-funded, paid for it all myself.
Fair play. That's how it has to start, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, but going back to it, this building was... Oh, it was incredible just to see. You know, it was laying in pieces, derelict, left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
And I thought, this needs a lot of work. So I jumped on board with the team called Rhondda Resurgence to help with what I can building-wise to get the building up to scratch for Halloween. Cool. But the event itself, Valley Nightmares, came... I don't know. I mean, I had one idea that I kind of went with, but that changed numerous amounts of times throughout the whole year, I suppose. But go back to the question again. It kind of scares.
Well, yeah, I just
blabber on. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. Well, obviously, you've already mentioned the venue is absolutely perfect. It sounds great. A derelict sort of old house is going to be absolutely perfect. So what kind of scenes and you know, what was it sort of themed around? What kind of scares did you have in the house?
It didn't have a theme as such. Well, I suppose it did, but then it kind of went along with itself, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you know, you come up with one idea and that ties into another and then ties into another and so
absolutely,
on and so forth.
So it's more organic that way, I suppose.
Definitely.
It's not like you're trying to, say, some people really want a clown room, so they try and cram a clown room in a house that just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
It's always good for it to come sort of naturally and organic, and from this perfect location, it appears that your event's done that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it set itself, like the scene set itself. You know, you played a little bit of spooky music outside a derelict chapel. You know, just lit up red out the front, and you know, instantly you get the feel of fear the moment you step in through them crooked gates.
Yeah,
which were falling apart by the they weren't by the time we opened the gates. Managed to repair them thanks to a good friend, Big Man, we call him.
Big Man, it's always good to have a Big Man on you.
He's such a fantastic guy. He was basically, you know, if I had a problem with regards to building, etc., he was there. Like, how would I do this? And he'd say, well, you could try this, you could try that. Oh, brilliant, fantastic. But he didn't come on board until, I think that was possibly April.
Oh, right, okay.
So, like, as I said, we started together, me and a mate, but his heart wasn't in it, and he decided to let me take over.
So it started off kind of as a one-man show from the start?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, fair plays for carrying it on. I mean, it's all well and good saying, like, I'm going to give this a bash. But like you say, there's always the financial side and the operational side. The operational side is a bit that I want to actually talk about a little bit, because, like we say, you're a brand new company, only starting last year, almost near enough by yourself. We have a lot of Scare fans like yourself who may want to take that step and run an attraction themselves from the ground up. And like you say, you did it in your friend's house the first time. So you've basically gone from a home haunt to a pro haunt. Which is the big...
I wouldn't call us professionals, sometimes I still haven't got a clue what I'm doing.
But in essence, that's what you've kind of done, I guess. And that's always been, even in America as well, a lot of the podcasts I listen to, and over here in the UK, it's still a smaller thing, home haunting. Lee Conway from PUP Events will vouch for that. So you've made that big step. What was that like? Was it scary? Was it intimidating? The actual operational side of things... was it a big learning curve, and was it tough but enjoyable, really?
All of the above, Mikey. Yeah. As a, you know, coming from a home haunt, you know, you think, all right, we'll set up a little smoke machine here, we'll set up a light here. You can't do that in a venue that's over 100 years old. This chapel that we got, it was built in 1868, I think, or 1867, something like that. So you can imagine, like, it's been empty for 40 plus years.
Yeah, long time.
You can imagine the damage that was done inside. But, you know, you have to think about all these different things. You know, where am I going to get power from?
Mm-hmm.
is the mains board up to scratch for a start. You know, we had a lot of trouble with regards to electrics, but fortunately a good friend who, he's sort of renting a room in the chapel.
Okay.
he's a music producer, so he does a lot of, he's got a little studio in there that he has fun with.
Great. It's good to have a music producer on your team.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. You know, where I've confronted him with regards to certain aspects of different things, so he's been happy to help.
Excellent.
But for those who want to start out, just do it. That's all I can say, because I just went with it. You know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's not the end of the world. You've always got tomorrow to try again.
Of course, absolutely. And would you say that we mentioned ScareCon earlier? Would you say that that was beneficial as well?
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah, the seminars that they showed. Obviously, you know, I have no scare background whatsoever, but I've learned a lot along the way from the seminars at ScareCon, talking to different people. You know, for example, Neil Bradley, I think he's from Twisted Attractions or something like that. Terror Attractions, I believe, something like that. Like, he's been a good friend to go to, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I refer to Michael as the guru.
Absolutely, so, yeah. Michael, you know, Bolton, he knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah. If I've run into trouble, it's been a case of, like, calm down, start again. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for cheering me up.
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's what we need. That's what we find about the industry as well, as a whole. There's always some people that don't like someone else, but that's just the way it is. But what we like about ScareCon and ScareTour and the whole sort of industry is the fact everyone sort of helps each other out, I think.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, it's a big family, isn't it? You know, that's what I call my actors, my helpers, my volunteers. They're my scare family.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and they're the backbone of the event, really. Yeah,
they're friends, you know, they come on board, they say, oh yeah, I can help. Oh, brilliant, thank you very much. You know, you just need to rely on people who you count as close.
Absolutely.
That's why I call them family. You know, they are, we help each other up throughout the year, regardless of what goes on.
That's great. And that's basically, on an operational side, that's what you need. You need some dedication, don't be scared to fail, and a good team of friends.
Definitely.
Awesome.
Most definitely.
Stuff. Awesome. So if that brings us basically on to 2017, your next event. You announced it last month, and that's Apocalyptic Oz.
Yes.
Yes, that sounds very intriguing. I'm very excited about that. We don't want you to tell us too much, obviously, because we don't want, if you explain the whole show, no one will come. We don't want that.
Exactly.
So we want you to kind of pitch it, maybe a couple of scare track spoilers. What exactly is Apocalyptic Oz all about, and what can our listeners, when they come to your event, expect from it?
You mentioned the name Oz. What do people think of?
I'm thinking Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, there we go. That's all I can say, really.
Okay.
I thought to myself, we need to step up our game. We had such a great response from last year. Mm-hmm. You know, and the year before, we had, obviously, it was the home haunt.
Yeah.
But the response from last year's event was absolutely incredible. You know, people said, oh, I hope you're coming back next year. You're coming back next year. Are you doing tomorrow? No, we can't. No, this was a test for me.
Yes.
To see if it was sustainable, if you know what I mean. But then people said, yeah, come on, we got to do it again. So I thought, right, I got to step up my game.
Yeah, they're expecting it now.
Yes, definitely. You know, I mean, but what's more iconic than one of the greatest films in the world?
You can't beat a bit of Dorothy.
Oh, hell no.
Awesome. So we're looking forward. And that's Halloween this year at the Rhondda Valley.
That is correct, yes. In small town of Tonopandy, based in the Rhondda Valley.
Perfect. Awesome stuff. So thanks for coming on, buddy. If any of our listeners want any more information from yourself, or if we've got any volunteers on our Scare Actors group page that are over your neck of the woods, how can they contact you? What's the best way for them to be able to contact Toby Brandon and Twins of Evil Events?
The best way to be, I think, would be through our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Twins of Evil Attractions.
Awesome stuff. Then, Toby, thank you so much for joining us. It's been really enjoyable chatting to you, and we can't wait to see what Apocalyptic Oz has in store.
Well, I hope to see you this year, Mikey.
Fingers crossed, buddy. Fingers crossed. Thanks so much, Toby. Really appreciate
having
you on.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're listening to Scare Track. Now it's time for some listener feedback.
Joss Dutton got in touch after visiting the Big Day scare event by New Company Midlands Attractions Company. Joss said, was a good event from the guys. Looking forward to hearing what the Scare Track team think. Joss left that comment under our episode 36 post on Facebook. So if you guys want to know what we thought and haven't heard that show yet, just head back to episode 36.
This month we have loved interacting with our listeners via social media, mainly Facebook, because we hate Twitter. We uploaded a photo of a horror film based on a Scream park, and we asked you guys what you thought of it. The film was The Funhouse Massacre, and wow, it was so bad it was good. Here's what you guys thought.
Neil Bradley said, yes, watched it a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was funny, silly and entertaining. A fun film, but don't expect anything serious though.
Brian Dunlop said, I was actually laughing like fuck at it. Totally silly.
Bobby Oldfield said, yep, watched it the other week. Pretty weird. So just a quick thank you from you guys who interacted with us over the Facebook page. It's great to talk to our listeners about anything scare related, whether it be the main attraction of scare attractions and haunts, films, maybe even scare experiences that you've been through. So keep that in mind. If you watch a film and want to talk to the Scare Track team about it, give us your review, let us know, and we can chat about it on the show. Also, keep an eye out for any films that we may watch and put up the poster on Facebook page to see what you guys think as well.
You say chat to us, I just want to say you're chatting to me because Mikey hates scary films.
Yeah, I'm scared of scary films.
I'm not, me and Hannah. Yeah. We also asked you guys, what do you want to hear on the 2017 season of Scare Track? We already have some great discussion, interviews and on-location episodes lined up for you guys, but we still have a couple of spaces left in our diary. So here's what you guys have suggested.
Ems Warren said, I would like to hear some more out-of-season stuff. Scare events at any time of year to go if you're on a budget, and the Scare Track team's dream scares. What would be the team's dream scare that they'd run, and what would their ideal scare to go through?
Well, Ems, some cracking ideas, and it's really hard for Hannah to say that.
That was hard.
We can't wait to add them to our Scare Track episode lineup. Thank you very much. We also had Timothy Deves contact us and said, the Hide and Shriek team for sure. They always put on a fab show. Thanks for that, Timothy. We'll try and get him on soon. We also need to visit one of their events ASAP.
Gareth Jones got in touch and said, I reckon for guests, anybody in the industry, from attraction owners and designers to actors and to enthusiasts. Sounds good to me, Gareth. Thanks for writing in. Wait, in fact, sorry, I reckon we should get Gareth Jones on. He's been on before, has he not?
No, not yet.
Oh, he's not?
No, okay. He was a Scare Track mug winner for the Selfie Sunday we did a few... Scalfie Sunday we did a few years ago. A few months ago. No, Gav's not been on yet. Oh my god, we are fucking all this up tonight.
Anyway, back to the point. Gav Jones is coming on one of these months. You're coming on.
Well, I've got an idea to do sort of a actors round table at some point. So get a lot of actors on. That should be pretty cool.
So thanks to everyone who contacted the show and joined in on our social media questions. To join the party, make sure you head over to facebook.com/scaretrack.
Absolutely. Over there, you can keep up to date with our latest shows, fan chats, live videos, and send us a message direct that we can read out on the show.
So, like we said, we have some fantastic shows lined up for you this year, and we'd love it for you to join us for the ride. Remember, you can still support the show by liking and sharing our page on Facebook, and also get some Scare Track merch. We have mugs, t-shirts, and hoodies. Just head over to www.smart-fx.co.uk. So, that brings us to the end of episode 37. Sean, thanks for joining me.
Ah, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, Hannah and Mikey.
Oh, thank you. And Hannah, cheers for joining us as always.
Thank you. Sorry I couldn't say Team Scream Dream.
Team Scream Dream. That's pretty impressive.
I know. I know the guys listening, they know that we kind of fuck up now and again. Yeah, I always fuck up. I know. But hey, you know, it's funny.
It's a Team Scream Dream.
It's a Scream. Scream. I can't even say it.
Yeah, exactly.
Scream team. Anyway, Scream team.
Toby Brandon, I apologise on behalf of me and Hannah for not being able to do the interview with you.
Yeah, sorry.
But it was Me and Hannah are on a beach having a gin and tonic.
Oh, I wish. Not gin, but I wish.
Okay, red wine. Yeah. A beach doesn't really go. Anyway, sorry about that, Toby.
So, but it was great to have you on, Toby. Thank you so much for chatting, and we look forward to visiting you very, very soon. So, we shall see all our listeners on our next episode, episode 38, next time. We'll see you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.